All right. Well, I've asked Brother Eric Floyd if he'd come and read scripture and lead us in prayer if we can begin our second service.
Let's open our Bibles together to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. Begin our reading in verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. They caused great joy unto all the brethren. And they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up, and he said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe. I've got a note here. I'm not sure who said it. Here's the conclusion. We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as that. We end our reading. Our God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this, thy word. Lord, for this opportunity to gather together as a people. Lord, to read thy word, to sing hymns of praise. Lord, to hear thy word declared. God, we thank you that, Lord, you've brought these men our way. Lord, that you've given them a message. Lord, give us ears to hear. Lord, hearts to receive and to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for thy mercy, for thy grace and goodness, Lord, to us in the Savior. Lord, as you blessed us, Lord, we pray again that you bless us again. Lord, as our brother comes to declare the truth of thy word. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of trouble and difficulty, Lord, we pray your hand would continue to be upon them, Lord, that you comfort, strengthen, and encourage your people. Lord, again, as we've gathered here this morning, bless us with your word. Set aside the thoughts and cares of this world, Lord, so much that catches our mind and distracts us. Lord, set aside these things just for a little while. Let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
Everyone stand and sing 206.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. By it I have been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child. Purchasing peace in heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountain, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
334.
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that Thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, Thy presence my light. Thou my wisdom, and Thou my true word. I ever with Thee, and Thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I Thy true Son.
all make a good choir. I'm glad you didn't do what I did, quiet, and just listen to you. As I listened to you, I thought of this verse. That was so beautiful. Boy, one day there's going to be a choir we're going to hear, and we're going to sing of him. John said, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.' And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.' And the four beasts said, 'Amen.' And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." You know, I can't wait till that day. But till then, I sure enjoy hearing y'all sing. That was outstanding. Well, our next speaker is Pastor Chris Cunningham, pastor of the College Grove Grace Church. Chris, we're delighted that you're here. I pray God bless you as you come bring the message he's given to you for us to hear.
It's good to be here this morning. Good to see y'all. Enjoyed just what a blessing already this morning to worship our Lord. When Brother Eric was reading, I thought, I believe a lot. Talked about there was much disputing over this and that, and I believe a lot of disputing, if not all of it, and just vain bickering and division could be solved if we could all just remember, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we're saved. I believe that would do it. We don't need to know a lot of things. We just need to know one thing real well. And I pray the Lord will teach us this morning. Matthew chapter 14. Matthew 14, 22. Brother Kevin almost preached my message there a couple of times. Did y'all see me scooting to the edge of my seat? I thought I was going to have to run up here and tackle him. But it was close. It was close. But what a blessing. That was a wonderful message. Matthew 14, 22. "Straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the even was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary, and in the fourth watch of the night Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It's a spirit.' And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it's me. It is I. Be not afraid.'" I wish we could hear these three simple words, "It is I." Those three words spell goodbye to every fear, every doubt, every sorrow, every grief, every trouble. When you're going through a difficult time or your trouble like these disciples were at this moment in our text, and when you don't understand, like they didn't know the Lord from a scary ghost. What you need to hear is from Him. And all He needs to say is, it's me. It's me. I haven't been through a whole lot in my life. I had a few sleepless nights, though, over the years, worrying about things. My mind is troubled. And my heart's broken a few times. And it's as though the Lord speaks the very words in my ear, though, as I lay down at night. He doesn't speak audibly to us. We know that. It's a lot better than that. He speaks to our hearts. He says, it is I, be not afraid. He has spoken to us in His eternal, immutable word and said, all things work together for good. To them that love me, to those who are the called according to my purpose. Everything that happens to you is I did it. I brought it. I did it for your good. We can't see all that He's accomplishing in the things that He does in our lives. Like here, He sent these disciples ahead of Him across the sea and then sent a storm. You say, well, He calmed the storm, Chris. Oh, yeah, I know He did. But He sent it, too. He sent it. And then He appeared unto them, but not in a pleasant way, not in a way that they understood or could rejoice in at first. But when we're like that, going through a trial that He sent and that only He can calm, may we hear these words and know that we're able to rest because it's Him. How can a man dying of cancer, laying in bed, and you've come there to try and be some comfort to him, how is it that he's the one that comforts you? He's the one who said, don't cry, I'm going to be okay. I'm supposed to be the one that says that. But he did that. He comforted me because the Lord had already spoken to his heart and said, be not afraid, it's me. It was I that brought the cancer. It's I that brought the heartache. It's I that brought the pain. And it's I that'll be with those who suffer loss. It's I that will welcome home our loved one. And did. Be not afraid. It's more than just earthly troubles that our Lord has assuaged with these beautiful words. There'll no terror ever take hold of the soul of a sinner like the terror of our sin, if the Lord ever shows it to us. Paul said, when I heard the law, sin revived and I died. It destroyed me. The me who trusted in myself, the self-righteous me who thought my works, you know, were my hope before God, He killed me. He destroyed me. If the ghosts of all of our ingratitude and self-righteousness and selfishness and pride and just flat-out evil ever appear and rise to haunt us, so much that we feel we'll die from it. You know, when our Lord began to feel the weight of our sin in Gethsemane, He said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And we'll never feel that. But we do feel it. We do feel the weight of our sin sometimes. But with Paul, we're able to say what? Who is he that condemned? Who can charge me with any wrongdoing? And what's the answer? It's Christ. I can say it is Christ because he's spoken to my heart and said, it's me. Be not afraid. So I can say it. It's him. By his grace, I can say that. It's I that brought your sins before your eyes. It's so that you would understand the glory of the truth, that it is I that washed them away. And you would flee to me. Don't be afraid of the thunderings at Mount Sinai. Don't be afraid of the roaring of Satan. Don't be afraid of the very terrors of hell. It is I. It's not just that somebody named Jesus died on a cross because he loved me this much. You know, they like to say, he loved me this much. Well, I hope he loves you more than that. He's loved us with an everlasting love that you can't measure. My arms don't spread that wide. The unshakable confidence of our soul is the knowledge of who it is that died for me. If the sovereign, almighty Lord Jesus Christ died for me, then I'm perfected forever. Eternal redemption is obtained for me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We tend to focus on the last part of that. No, it's because of who your shepherd is. That's why you will never lack anything. He didn't say to his disciples before he left this earth, let not your hearts be troubled. Heaven has streets of gold and pearly gates. He did not say, let not your hearts be troubled. I've done all I can do, and now it's up to you. But you've learned a lot. You know, you'll be okay. He said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in me. You know what somebody's saying when they say that to you. Believe in me. Trust me. Trust me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Isn't that precious? He said, if this wasn't going to end well for you, I would tell you. I'd have told you that. But it is going to end well for you. I go to prepare a place for you. Father's house. There are a lot of dwelling places, and I'm going to go make sure now. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to give myself to you. I'm going to make sure one of them is yours. A place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, Paul said, I have a desire to depart, be with Christ. That's what glory is. That's glory. Where I am, there you may be also. I'm going to see to it. That's what he's saying. Believe in me. I'm going to go see to it. I'm going to go make sure that you never pay for a single sin you've ever committed. Not one. Or ever shall commit. Because of what I'm going to do, you should never let your heart be troubled or afraid of anything. I'm going to make all your fears unfounded. I'm going to make all of your troubles baseless. I'm going to go and make it so that you can be with me, shall be with me forever. It is I. Remember right before that, Simon said, I will not deny you. I will stand by you. I will die with you. The Lord said, no, you won't. But I will. I will go. I will prepare a place. I will come again. I will receive you. That's our hope. He's our hope. And in verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, Peter didn't just jump out and start toward the Lord on his own. Now, he said, Lord, bid me come. And not Jesus bid me. Lord bid me. Lord bid me come. How wonderful it is to have in God's word his bidding us to come to him. What sinner would dare come before the holy God unless he said come? Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Even knowing that it was the Lord's will, the publican stood afar off, didn't he? Far off. He would not lift up so much as his eyes to heaven. Do you understand that? But our Lord bids us come. There is in religion, though, an unholy familiarity with whoever they call God and presumption. If you will, God will. I'll tell you what God's going to do. He's not going to react to you. He's going to do what he said he would do. When I say religion, I mean the human heart. That's what religion is. It's not a church with Free Will Baptist on the sign, although that's how audacious. Did you ever think about that? Let's name our church after an attribute of man. But it's the human heart. Religion is the human heart, false religion. At Sinai, the people didn't have any desire to go where God was. They didn't want to come to God. They prayed the mediator to go for them. We do too. He has. And he says, come to me. He is the mediator, the one mediator between God and sinners. Here he is in our text. That's why he can say, come. Come to me. Come to God. Because he is the mediator. We can't go to God. We don't know what terror is until we get a glimpse of what it means to appear before the holy God of heaven and earth in ourselves, in our sinful state. And yet in the person of Christ, our substitute, our mediator, God says to sinners, come now. Not just come, but do it right now. Do it now. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. What about, Lord, your sins? Your sins have got to be dealt with. How can I come? How can I be together with God? He said, let us reason together. How am I going to do that? Though your sins, though they be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's how. That's how. Our Savior made peace between us and the Holy God with the blood of his cross. And this is the gospel. Before I dare come to God, I need to know that's what he wants. There's no question of me accepting Jesus. The question is he going to accept me? Lord, bid me. Bid me come to you. Just as you are. Look what our Lord said in verse 29. One word. Our Lord didn't waste any words, did he? Whatever he said, boy. Come. Do we get any sense at all of the magnitude of that? The Holy One says, come. When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, here I come. How about you? How about you? If the Lamb of God says come, by his grace, if he ever says that effectually to your heart, if the one who said let there be light and there was light ever says to you, be not faithless but believing, he ever says to you, come, couldn't keep you from him with a baseball bat. He's the difference. Simon did the impossible because the Lord commanded him. That's what faith is now. It's just him giving you the ability to do what you can't possibly do. Dead people can't come out of their graves. Like Brother Kevin said, every miracle he ever did, he didn't do that just to heal them physically. I mean, what difference does it make whether you go to hell lame or go to hell walking? It's not about that. This is how he saves sinners. Dead people don't come out of their graves unless the Lord says, come forth. Lame people can't walk. That's what it means to be lame. Until he says, arise, take up your bed and walk. You can't come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't do it unless he says, come. With the command, he gives you the supernatural ability to obey the gospel. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I had somebody say to me one time, I've heard this actually several times, but I've never forgotten the first time somebody said this to me. They said, God would never ask a sinner to do anything that sinner can't do. And that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? It's the biggest bunch of nonsense that you'll ever hear. When did he ever ask anybody to do anything that they could do? He never did. I'll agree with the first part of it. God never asks a sinner to do anything. He commands it. Just by nature of who he is, it's a command when he speaks. He doesn't ask, but the truth is just the opposite of what this man said. God will never tell you, he never told anybody to do something they couldn't do. What about Lazarus come forth? He 4 days stinky dead. Stretch forth thy hand. You ever think about that? That's the only thing that man could not do. He had a withered hand. If the Lord would have said to him, I want you to swim the Sea of Galilee, he could have trained, he could have strengthened his other arm and his legs, and he could have gotten across there somehow. One thing he's not ever going to do until the Lord comes, stretch forth thy hand. Why would the Lord tell him to do that one thing? Because with men it's impossible. And we need to understand that. He's going to get all the glory. And we're going to like it. We do, don't we? Oh, we kind of like it that way, by his grace. Even after he saves us, he's still saving us, isn't he? We still say we can't do anything without him. Without me, what could be clearer? Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Well, you say, well, Chris, we can love one another. We can do that. Really? Can you? He didn't say, you know, love one another kind of. He didn't just say love one another. He said love one another as I've loved you. You fixing to do that? He got to save us every day. Every moment. Without me, you can do. Lord, bid me come. And he did. Come. Come on. Verse 30, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I believe, other than our Lord's prayers in the Scripture, the prayers don't get any better than that. They just don't get any better than that. I'm a sinner. All faith is full of doubt. He saw the winds. Of course he did. We do too. You know what? When he saw the winds and the waves, you know what he was thinking? I could walk on water. And he was right, wasn't he, Frank? He was right. Now, it took great faith for Peter to step out on that water. Yeah, but not saving faith. He had seen the Lord, what the Lord was able to do. And he said, "You bid me come." And it did take some faith, but that's not saving. That's just a picture. That is a picture, though, of saving faith. When he says, "Come," we're coming. We know who he is and where we are and where we need to be, what we need to be before God. We're coming to him. And faith is a great gift from God. By faith, Moses chose the reproach of Christ over all the riches and the treasures of Egypt. By faith, Abraham believed God, for he reckoned him faithful who had promised and believed that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. But in the lives of Moses and Abraham, and in our own experience, we see that though we do believe, our constant prayer must be, "Lord, I believe." We can't really ever say, "Lord, I believe," without the next word being him. And this prayer that Simon prayed, it's not a one-time prayer, "Lord, save me." I've been crying that for 40 years. "Lord, save me. Save me." I've seen the waves and winds many times when I should have had my eyes fixed on the Savior, but I didn't. And this is a brief and urgent prayer. This is a prayer of a man that's sinking. This is a prayer of a man who has no hope except to pray. There's no time now for eloquence or pretense. A pretentious prayer is a terrible thing, isn't it? This is not, "God, I thank thee that I'm better than everybody else, blah, blah, blah." This is, "Lord, save me. Save me." This is, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The publican prayed pretty much the same prayer Simon did here. "Lord, save me. Have mercy on me." This is an appeal to the only one who can save a sinner. The Lord. Only the sovereign Christ can save. If he leaves anything up to us, as religion likes to say so much, we're going to drown in our sins. Bless God, our Savior is mighty to save. He doesn't leave anything up to me. He's able to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. He said in John 10, "I lay down my life for the sheep, and they shall never perish." He laid down his life for us equals us never perishing. That's not complicated, is it? Nothing complicated about that. How many, though, this very weekend will pray to a God that can't save them? Tomorrow morning, everybody will put on their nice clothes and go and worship themselves. My Savior's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. He saves whom he will, when he will. And if he will, he'll save you. If you will, you'll make us clean. It never says that Simon tried to swim back to the boat. He's unable to do what he set out to do. He's walking on water for a little while, and then he begins to sink. And there's a man in front of him that's standing on that same water. And the only thing in that scenario to somebody with no faith that's solid and reliable is that boat. We know that'll float. He didn't try to go back to the boat. He abandoned all regard for human ability, and we've got to do that. We've got to do that. That's what it is, taking up your cross and following the Lord. One thing that crosses are good for, people die on it. We've got to die to self. We've got to give up all hope. We've got to spend all we have and be worse. And the Lord's able to arrange that. He's able to arrange that. This is faith, too, to disregard all human ability or resources. Paul said in Philippians 2, I've suffered the loss of all things. You know what it was? I've suffered the loss of all things. If you look at the context in the previous verses there, it was, I was circumcised. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I was a Pharisee. As touching the law, I was blameless. That's what he suffered the loss of, himself. Any man will lose him his life. And he'll know what life is. So, Paul said, it's all dung that I may win Christ. Simon here put all of his hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. There's nothing to argue about. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. This was a prayer of Simon's here with complete confidence in the ability of the Savior to save. Lord, save me. It's a prayer that acknowledges the ability of the Savior, but it's also a prayer that acknowledges Simon's inability. He didn't say, Lord, I'm going to do my best to swim over there, but I'm going to need your help here. I'm going to swim toward me if you'll meet me halfway. Listen to those words that he cried, save me. That's what we need to do. That's what we need from Christ. Save me. Paul said the Jews, they had a form of godliness. He said, my heart's desire and prayer to God is that he would save them. Not that they would get a little correct on some of their doctrine. God's going to have to save them if they don't have any hope. Save me. Paul wrote, we worship God, we're the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And you remember the rest of it? And have no confidence in the flesh. None. We abandon all hope and trust in ourselves. By the grace of God, we have no confidence in this flesh, not mine or yours or anybody else's. Will my loved ones come to know the Lord? It's a rare day that goes by. I don't think about that. Will they? I'll tell you this. I don't have any confidence that they're just going to come around. Do you? They're not just going to figure it out. I don't have any confidence in their flesh. But bless God, we commit their souls to the one who delights to show mercy. It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And so we pray, Lord, have mercy on them. And this is such a personal prayer, isn't it? Lord, save me. Save me. This is where Kevin almost got out of line a little bit. Started preaching my message. Save me. He didn't cry out, Lord, I believe in the doctrine of the salvation of sinners by the sin atoning death and representative righteousness of Christ. I believe that doctrine. But my prayer is, Lord, save me. Save me. You know, the question this morning is not, does God love everybody? That's not the question. I hope you know the answer to that question, because it's clearly revealed in the Word of God. And if you're ever going to know God, you're going to know the answer to that question. But you know what the question is? Does He love you? That's what you need to know. You need to know if He loves you, and how in the world could He? How can He be just and justify a wretch like me? Lord, save me. It's one thing to believe in the doctrine of the immaculate, sinless, holy Son of God and His effectual sin-atoning blood. But here's what the Lord said about that. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood. It's Him. It's personal. It's a person saving a person. We can sing, you know, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I kind of like that song. It's all fine. Well, I'm glad He saves. But we've got to come to the place where our heart's cry is, Lord, save me. While on others Thou art calling, don't pass me by. This is a personal thing. I'm sinking, and I deserve to sink. If I sink down to hell, God has done the right thing. I'm sinking because of what I am. If I was a fish, it'd be all right. But I'm not a fish. I'm a sinner. Sinners sink. They can't walk on water. And sinners can't come to the One who saves sinners. They need for Him first to come to them and bid them come. He has, hadn't He? Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He says, come all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord. How does all this end? Well, Christ has saved me. He is saving me, and He shall save me. And we're still coming to the Lord. We're still coming to Him. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? Well, I tell you this, it won't be on the strength of our faith, will it? What saved Simon here was not the strength of his faith, it was the object of his faith. And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand, verse 31, and caught him. Isn't that beautiful? He's sinking, and the Lord caught him. The Lord caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith. What faith he had was in the Son of God, wasn't it? O thou of little faith, why did you doubt? Wherefore did you doubt? It won't be the strength of our faith that saves us. The object of our faith is He who saves. If it's Christ the Lord, salvation is of the Lord. The apostle was a doubter. Wherefore did you? He was a doubter, but he was a caught doubter. Thank God for catching grace. The word caught there means laid hold of. Remember what Paul said in Philippians 3? He said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend, if that I may lay hold, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You know what he said there? My desire is to lay hold of the One who laid hold of me. May that be the desire of everybody here. And may the God of all grace say to us with power this morning, come. Come. And give us grace to come to Him and be saved. Amen.
The Apostle John said, "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.'" It's a message of God the Holy Spirit. It's a message of God's people. Come, as we just preached. Don't come to a where now. Come to who? Salvation's a person. Oh, God, help us. Come to Christ. All right. Well, Isaac's going to come lead us in a closing hymn. Our ladies have prepared, based on my experience, what will be a delicious meal. So hope you all stay and enjoy something to eat. Give the men a few minutes to set up the tables. And we'll enjoy a time of fellowship together. And Brother Scott Keller from Princeton, New Jersey, is going to lead us in prayer after the song. So in the last verse, you come up here. And Isaac, you come lead us in a song. And Brother Scott will dismiss us in prayer and we'll eat, all right?
Everybody stand and sing 272.
Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils His lovely face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other sand. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Let's give thanks. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for the privilege of being able to come out and worship You, to having heard two wonderful messages, Your Word being proclaimed, Your Son being exalted. It is truly a delight to hear something that teaches us about our Savior. We get to know Him a little better each time we hear that Word in power from Your Spirit. We love Him a bit more. We trust You a bit more. We thank You, Lord, for these things, for the food which we're about to receive after. We know that You know, Lord, we have need of these things too, but You provide it in such abundance, and we're thankful for it. We're thankful for all the work that goes into that and goes into these conferences and that goes into preparing these messages. It's a delight to see Your people work. We know we aren't working for a righteousness. Our righteousness is complete in Christ, but It's a labor of love, Lord, and that brings glory and honor to your name, and it's a delight to be a part of it, and we thank you for it and for them. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.